Welcome to another podcast in our series for the International Chamber of Commerce UK branch. This is ICC's World Business Podcast recorded in London on Tuesday, 17th of July, 2018. Today we're joined by Chris Southworth, Secretary General of ICC United Kingdom, and Michael Wilkins, Head of Sustainable Finance at S&P Global Ratings.
It's a pleasure to have you on this week's World Business Podcast. We've got the UN High-Level Political Forum coming up in the 9th to the 18th of July in New York. Can you just tell us a little bit about the sustainability agenda? What does that mean for business? And specifically, what does it mean in terms of our contribution from the UK?
Yeah, sure. Thanks, Chris. Well, businesses are increasingly contending with the consequences of severe weather events and long-term shifts in weather patterns. In other words, climate change. And they're rising to the climate change challenge on all fronts, and investing means to support sustainable development. So that is, you know, we're finding that happen in a variety of different ways. We're very engaged with the finance community in the capital markets. So in terms of green finance, we're seeing capital markets respond by issuing and investing billions of dollars in green financings. In fact, this year we're predicting $200 billion of green bonds being issued by businesses to finance their own assets, which are leading to decarbonisation as part of the sustainable agenda. And we've seen that market grow at an enormous rate over the past 5 years. And that's going to continue as the political imperative increases to meet the Paris climate change objectives. Investors are also responding to that by diversifying their portfolios away from climate risk and carbon intensive projects, and shifting allocation in their asset management. And that's reflected in also policy changes and legislative changes we've seen around the world, most prominent of which is in Paris, which the French government have instituted a law called Climate Transition Law. Article 173 of that law will actually force investors to disclose how their assets under management are helping decarbonize and meet the French commitment to the Paris Agreement. But we're also seeing much broader in sustainability the concept of environmental, social and governance, or ESG management and disclosure, come up. So more and more businesses are disclosing the environmental, social and governance risks and opportunities that they are facing and the impact that these have. It's hard at the moment to draw any concrete conclusions about this, but our research at S&P Global indicates that ESG factors are becoming more and more important for our own credit ratings, and they're having a material impact on ratings, and that companies themselves are starting to manage these risks in a much more meaningful way, and investors are increasingly wanting to know how that's being done.
And do you find that anything has changed since the election of Donald Trump and the US walking away from commitments in Paris on the climate accord?
Well, the US situation is still pretty fluid. Despite the Trump's administration stated intention to withdraw from the Paris Climate Change Agreement, we've seen climate action in the US still maintain a very strong momentum, led by the municipal and the state level politics, but also, and I should stress this, businesses themselves. The Business Alliance, the We're Still In campaign was very strong at the last climate change summit in Bonn last year. And in fact, it could be said that Trump's decision to withdraw from Paris has actually galvanized the US more and more than ever before, and businesses is taking the lead. Because I think, business recognize it makes good sense to implement low carbon technologies and low carbon business strategies, given that the rest of the world is heading in that direction.
I know that's something that our US colleagues would absolutely endorse. US companies very much kind of behind the agenda. Just talk a little bit through the sort of barriers and challenges. What are the things that keep you up at night on the sustainable finance agenda?
I think the biggest thing is the scale of the investment required and meeting that within the time frame that the scientists and the policymakers say is required to avoid catastrophic climate change having an impact. So it's been estimated that some $90 trillion is needed before 2030 to achieve the global sustainable development and climate objectives at the high level. And that's, you know, that's according to numbers put forward by the Group of 20 Green Finance Synthesis Report. You know, the green finance marketplace is growing, as I mentioned earlier, but it's still considerably less than what is needed. You know, countries themselves are financing more and more as part of their commitments to the Paris Agreement, and we've seen, you know, so-called sovereign bonds or bonds issued by countries, which are themselves classified as green and grow, but it's still not enough, really. The private sector and business is required to help meet that challenge in terms of investment. And one of the key things that we found at S&P Global is that while there's more and more financing and business action related to mitigation, in other words, reducing carbon emissions and implementing measures which improve the environment and try and mitigate the impact of man-made activity on the environment, there's still insufficient funding going into so-called adaptation projects or adaptation assets. These are, you know, coastal defences and more resilient buildings and drought protection schemes and so on. Things which are really trying to make assets more resilient to the impact of climate change, which is getting worse and worse as we see temperatures increase as a result of this phenomena. So adaptation financing is a big challenge as well. And we're expecting to see that change as more focus shifts from mitigation to adaptation. But I suppose probably the biggest thing really is that gap that's currently there between what's being financed and what is required. And that, you know, that gap needs to be highlighted and addressed by business. And that's starting to happen and spurred on by policy changes. You know, we're still even need for more levels of investment in clean energy and other sustainable infrastructure, and also that investors start to understand the benefits of that in terms of the you know, the returns they get on their in their portfolio, and that it's not seen necessarily as a higher risk investment strategy, but one which is more aligned with the global consensus on sustainable policy.
So we've got a wonderful opportunity in mid-July where the ICC is organising the SDG Business Forum in New York. We'll be meeting with high-level policymakers at the UN. What if there are three things then that we ask for with those policymakers and decision makers? What would they be?
Well, I think I think we need to focus now really on the concrete measures that need to be implemented to really drive the economy into a more sustainable future. And this is not just related to climate change. There are other environmental and sustainable factors that need to be addressed. If we look at the urban environment, for example, and cities, those are really the key focus really for many policymakers at the moment, given the contribution that the cities and the urban environment make to climate change and to degradation of the environment in general. And we can split that up into a number of different topics. For example, green transport. We're starting to see that there's more and more focus on transportation policies to try and combat the impact of carbon dioxide emissions from combustion engine types of transport. And electric vehicle market itself has to increase by somewhere in the region of 80% per year by 2025. In order to meet the Paris Agreement 2-degree scenario on global warming. So those kind of low-carbon transport solutions we're seeing now coming into play in cities like London. London itself is committed to being zero emission by 2050, according to the Greater London Authority. And we're seeing that over the next 25 years, there's a considerable ambition in London to increase public transport and low-carbon public transport by that. And there are a raft of other policy initiatives coming in to help make transport much more sustainable across the city. And that's a lesson that needs to be addressed not just in big developed cities like London, but across the world in developing countries such as India and South America and other parts of Asia. Apart from transport, I think the other big area that needs to be addressed is the sort of the buildings and green buildings and sustainable buildings are now a major focus for investment by the sort of the responsible investment community and also by mainstream investors. Buildings accounted for somewhere in the region of 1/3 of global carbon emissions and 1/2 of global electricity consumption in 2012. So that type of magnitude of environmental degradation from buildings needs to be addressed, and business is the best place to do that given the size and magnitude of the real estate sector and the amount of investment interest there is from large institutions to put their money to work in sustainable buildings, energy efficient buildings, and those which are contributing to the low carbon agenda. And then finally, moving away from the carbon emission side and more to other environmental issues, water and waste management. We've seen, coming back to London, a huge investment by business in trying to improve the water resource usage and networks and improving the quality of water treatment across the various end uses in the environment. Probably the best example of that is the Thames Tideway Tunnel project in London, which is financed through a £10 billion bond program. And we were involved in looking at that from a perspective of the green quality of that program through our green evaluation service. And it's actually on our scale of 1 to 100, the Thames Tideway Tunnel, or Basilvet Finance, as it was known in the market, has scored the highest of any other project that we've looked at so far. Just to reflect the environmental issues that London faces in terms of water scarcity and water stress, that kind of investment is in dire need. So, but just to come back to your question about policy objectives, a focus on green transport, green buildings and water and waste management, we think are the key areas that need to be addressed.
Well, that's really useful to know. And obviously SNP have been doing a terrific amount of work on this whole area for a long time. Just to talk us through a little bit more about what you're doing within the company and what can we learn from that?
Yeah, I mean, in terms of the sustainable agenda, I mean, a lot of this is often linked to the Sustainable Development Goals, which were set by the UN a couple of years ago. And those are very broad, and they provide a very high-level framework for how action can be taken to try and align objectives at the business level with trying to make sustainable development a priority by 2030. And we view that as quite important, but we also view measuring asset level or corporate financing contributions as a more concrete measure in terms of how businesses can support a sustainable agenda. So we focus on the more broad environmental and social governance approach, and we've developed a number of tools and services to help business align themselves with ESG objectives as well as meeting the broader SDG framework. I'll just give you a couple of examples of that. So our research in both the rise of sustainable finance, which I mentioned earlier, and the impact of ESG factors is clearly prominent in the world of credit quality and credit ratings. And we have a dedicated sustainable finance team in S&P Global Ratings, which I head up, formed to basically heighten the focus on these issues to improve the research and allow for the linkage between sustainability and credit quality to be better understood by investors. The other thing that we're doing is looking at the SDGs in a more concrete level. Our sister company, Trucost, for example, launched in April of this year its SDG evaluation tool, which provides a quantitative analysis of corporate performance on the SDGs. Note there are 17 of these, just to mention that. So a quantitative performance analysis of the corporate performance across the whole value chain. So from the use of raw material inputs to product use and disposal. And that's within the context of a company's geographic operations. And we, as I said earlier, within the ratings division of S&P Global, we've launched a green evaluation service, which looks at the green quality of finance to allow investors to benchmark the contribution that they're making by their investment and also meeting the Paris Agreement targets. So just to sum up, we've launched a number of tools, both within ratings and our sister companies at S&P Global, which should help, we believe, investors and business leaders and policymakers build a more sustainable global economy. And we're committed to increasing the understanding of ESG risks and also allowing for better and more prominent sustainable finance solutions. So we think this is important for achieving those goals.
And if you were us and operating in a global network like ICC does across 130 countries, who are the policy leaders in this area? If there are top three or five countries that are really leading the world, who are they?
Well, I think I'd have to make special mention of the French. The Paris Agreement speaks for itself, I think. But, and I mentioned earlier Article 173 of the Energy Transition Law, which is a clear example of how concrete legislation can be implemented to actually make the finance community totally focused on meeting the low carbon agenda. So I think the French and the French leaders in green bond investing, in green bond issuance, and in responsible investment as a whole. So the French, I think, are worth mentioning. I think other countries who have taken the leadership position in this area, I mean, despite what we said earlier about the Trump administration, the US is still very, very active. Has a strong voice at the table and is actually implementing a raft of measures in the environmental agenda led by state and municipal policies irrespective of what's happening at the federal level. So I think a special mention needs to go to the US for the efforts they're making despite the challenges they face at the federal level. And elsewhere, I think in developing countries, I think, you know, China is probably the next one that's worth mentioning. China has moved tremendously in the climate and sustainable agenda. It is the second biggest green bond issuer in the world for two years running. It's now implementing a nationwide carbon emission trading scheme. Chinese investment in low carbon technology and business solutions for sustainability are growing exponentially across the world, not just in China. And clearly China has got its own environmental challenges, and I think that's driving it forward and making it a leader in this space.
Well, it feels like we could talk on for quite some time on this agenda. It's a really interesting area and something, an area we should probably do a lot more in, I think, from within ICC here in the UK. But it's been a pleasure to talk to you today, Mike, and have a nice day, and we'll look forward to catching up another time. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Chris.
You've been listening to the World Business Podcast from ICC United Kingdom.